paper at me and it bounced off my face, rolling onto the floor. Give that kind of shit to King or Bear. In the meantime, if you need clothes or food or things like deodorant and toothpaste, then I'm your gal.
Why are you so pissed off at me?
I asked, taking my eyes from the TV to give her a questioning look.
Because I don't fucking know,
she snapped, grabbing her bag from the counter and swung open the front door.
Where are you going?
The kids are at school and the baby is with King in his studio, so I'm going to the food store to get stuff for dinner. And then I'm going to Grace's grave to lay fresh flowers and then pick up the kids, and then tonight I have an appointment to tattoo an entire butt cheek with the face of a tiger. You can come with me, you know, to Grace's grave?
Nah, I'm good here, I said, taking a swig of my beer and turning back around to the TV.
Wait, when did you start tattooing?
I called out, but she was already gone.
The screen slammed shut, and if the sound of her stomping down the steps indicated how she felt about my refusal to take her up on her offer to go to the cemetery, then Doe was defiantly pissed the fuck off. It took a solid minute of covering my ears and rocking back and forth for those sounds to stop bouncing around in my head. I rubbed my eyes. Chicks, I muttered, sitting back against the cushions.
She kind of has a point there,
someone said. I turned my head to the hallway as a girl with long, pinkish hair and a very big baby belly stepped out from the back door into the living room. She leaned against the wall next to the TV.
You haven't gone to the cemetery since they told you about Grace. You should go with her sometime.
You mean since I found out about Grace? I corrected her, unable to hide the bitterness from my voice.
No point. Just a box in the ground surrounded by other buried boxes in the ground. Never did make much sense to me to visit people who can't talk back.
Did you know that Ray visits your grave while she's there too? Brings you flowers and everything. Even since you've come back, she's still doing it. I don't know if it's out of habit or...
Or why? I asked.
What exactly are you getting at, oh wise pink one?
Or maybe she's still visiting your grave because she feels like you haven't really come back yet.
It was my turn to roll my eyes.
That's ridiculous. I'm right fucking here.
Wait, I have a grave? I again lifted my feet onto the table and expected her to slide hers off to make room. No such luck. Oh, she lifted her feet all right. But the second my heels came in contact with the table, she rested them across my shins and sighed deeply. That's creepy as fuck. And kind of fucking cool.
Don't you know who I am?
She asked.
I was getting to that.
I lied, staring daggers at her offending feet resting across my legs. The girl gave me an eerie sense of déjà vu, and although I was positive I didn't know this her, I kind of felt like I knew about her.
I'm Thea, Bear's fiancé, she offered. But you can call me T if you want.
She patted her stomach and smiled.
This here is Trey. Well, Trey if it's a boy, or Jackie Marie if it's a girl.
Bear? I asked, the mention of his name grating against my nerves. The fucker still hadn't shown his face.
I don't know a bear. I mean, the name sounds vaguely familiar, but I can't quite picture him. Sounds ugly as fuck, though.
It would sound more familiar if he showed his fucking face and stopped avoiding me. Thea rolled her eyes.
He's giving you time, asshole. Take it as a gift, because trust me, you fucking need it.
Time for what?
I asked, pushing her legs off of mine and sitting up so I could lean in and better glare at the stranger in front of me.
And what the fuck is that supposed to mean?
You'll find out.
Thanks, pink-haired Dalai Lama. I feel much better about one of my best friends ignoring me now that you've explained everything. Shit's all fucking roses again.
I chugged down the rest of my beer and set it harshly down on the table. The bottom of the bottle made a loud smack against the glass.
Why don't you focus on what's important, Preppy?
And what exactly is that?
The fact that Ray is at the cemetery right now putting flowers on your fucking headstone when you're alive and right here sitting in her fucking living room.
My living room, I corrected.
See? That's exactly what I mean. You're not focusing on what is important,
Thea said, standing up slowly in a series of small motions, a lot like a semi-truck making an 8-point U-turn on a narrow road.
Also, she didn't want to tell you, but she's been going to see Dre. They've become pretty good friends.
Wait, what?
I asked, but she too was already across the house.
What was with people telling me part of a fact before taking off?
Chicks, I muttered again when I thought she'd gone back out the same door she'd entered.
I heard that,
Thea said from behind me. I jumped and dropped my empty bottle on the floor.
You were supposed to,
I said back, picking the bottle off the floor and setting it back on the coffee table. I rounded the couch and grabbed a fresh beer from the fridge, feeling Thea's gaze on me the entire time. When I sat back on the couch, I felt the back of my neck where I could have sworn her stare was burning a hole in my skin.
You sure know how to make an impression, I said.
Well, now at least you'll remember me,
she said, this time making her way to the back door and opening it.
Pregnant girl with pink hair, no filter, and boundary issues. Don't think I'll have any trouble remembering who you are,
I said, raising my beer to her in a mock cheers before taking a long pull from the bottle. She paused and smiled brightly.
Well, if you do find yourself a little sluggish on the details and can't quite remember who I am, there is one tiny thing about me that might be able to jog your memory in a pinch.
Oh, yeah? I asked. Lay it on me, Thea. What is it that will make you so memorable?
She winked.
You can just remember me as that chick who killed Chop.
Chapter 8. Preppy.
I was beginning to think the excuses that everyone was giving me about Bear's absence was utter bullshit until he finally showed up, standing in the doorway on the front porch, his massive frame taking up every inch of available space. He peered into the living room.
Prep?
He asked, taking a tentative step toward me.
About fucking time, bitch. Get your big ass over here. You can't catch what I have, although if you could, I wouldn't put it past you to already have it.
I paused as he entered the room, because pure panic rose in my blood. The deep blue eyes, the freckles, the size, the posture, everything about him screamed, run, to me. I straightened my spine and set my feet into the carpet, pushing back against the cushions of the couch until I tipped it over on its side. I stumbled over it, not able to take my eyes off the figure moving toward me, the one that haunted me.
No!
I cried as I shuffled against the wall to find the door. He'd come for me. I needed to escape, but it was too late. Before I could reach the door, he was on me, his hands on my arms, holding me in place. I closed my eyes tightly and braced myself for the blow, for the pain, because that's what always came next. The pain. Only, it never came.
Preppy, it's me, it's Bear. I'm not my old man. I wouldn't fucking hurt you like that cocksucker did. Do you hear me? I would never fucking hurt you,
he screamed. Something familiar in his voice triggered me to slowly come back to reality and open my eyes. Much to my relief, it wasn't Chop standing there with concern written all over his face.
You would never hurt me, I repeated slowly.
Bear nodded, his breath ragged. He loosened his grip on my shoulders.
Never,
he said. I nodded slowly and he released me, taking a step back. I leaned over to compose myself, shaking off the adrenaline coursing through my veins.
Never. Never.
The fog cleared, and I stood up straight, looking over my old friend.
Even if I fucked your girlfriend? Never. I mean, I'd fucking kill you, but I wouldn't hurt you. I'd make it real quick, though, you know, 'cause we're brothers and all.
Oh, you're such a romantic, Care Bear.
I was still trying to catch my breath.
And you are such an asshole, Prep,
Bear said, shoving his thumbs through the belt loops of his black jeans.
Well, at least now I know why you didn't come sooner, I admitted. And I was motherfucking you to everyone who'd listen.
I know. I heard.
Bear smiled.
Now come here, you alive motherfucker.
He pulled me in for one of the only hugs Bear has ever voluntarily given me, and the need to make fun of him lingered just under the need to be reunited with the other half of the duo that made my best friends. There we stood, in the middle of the living room, hugging it out, each trying to hold back our tears until our need to cry outweighed our need to be the manly fucking men we were, and we were no longer able to hold in the tears.
I'm not fucking crying,
Bear sobbed.
Me neither, you fucking pussy.
I sobbed back as my old friend held me tighter and we hugged and punched each other hard on the backs until I was sure we were going to give each other bruises. And if it went on much longer, probably some broken ribs. When he finally let go of me, we quickly wiped our eyes and noses on our t-shirts. Because real men don't fucking cry. And that's when I noticed the new tattoo on the back of Bear's neck.
Bear? I asked as he pulled a pack of smokes out from his cut. What is that?
I sang, pointing to the very reason why I'd be able to make fun of Bear for the rest of his fucking life.
Is that what I think it is?
I stepped behind him to try to get a better look. Realizing what I was gaping at, he quickly covered the back of his neck with his hand and stepped back against the wall.
That ain't nothing.
No, Bear, I said, slowly approaching him.
That's a tattoo that says prep.
It's everything.
Bear dropped his hand and rolled his eyes. He smiled as he retrieved his lighter.
Fine, motherfucker. I thought your ass was dead, so I got a tattoo of your name on the back of my neck. I realize that you've probably thought of 1,000 dumb shit things to say about it already, but can we just skip that part for now? There will be plenty of time for that later. Besides, I'm gonna get it covered up with like a dragon or a tattoo of Chuck Norris or something really fucking manly.
I looked him in the eye and held up my index finger. You get one pass. Just this one, and it's temporary.
You're too fucking kind.
Now here, Bear said, reaching down into a saddlebag that was right outside the door.
This is for you.
He tossed me an extra deep shirt box.
What the fuck is this?
I asked, following him outside onto the front porch.
Consider it a preppy starter kit, Bear said.
I set it down on the back of the railing and opened it up to find several shirts, suspenders, and bow tie sets. I closed the lid and set it aside. Thanks, man.
When you're ready,
Bear said, pointing to the box.
Just for when you're ready.
For all the shit I gave him, Bear always had an uncanny way of understanding me and knowing when not to push. I nodded.
Now look under the clothes,
he said, the cigarette dangling from his bottom lip. I cast him a what-the-fuck-are-you-up-to look and opened the box back up. I felt around under the clothes at the bottom of the box. I pulled out a carton of cigarettes, a plastic bag with several already rolled joints, and a box of magnum-sized condoms.
Again, for when you're ready,
Bear said, this time with a sly smile. He handed me two more boxes that had been sitting next to the saddlebag on the deck. The smaller one on top contained a smartphone and the larger one on the bottom a laptop. The boxes looked new, but the plastic wrapping had been removed.
Thanks, man.
I fished out a joint from the baggie and rolling it under my nose, inhaling deeply.
God, I miss that smell. Well, the weed and smokes are for me and King. T and Ray picked out the clothes. T even went as far as taking the laptop to the geek guy at the tech store and had him bookmark all sorts of weird porn sites for you. I looked at some of them. Made my skin crawl, so I think you'll dig it.
Fuck, I was kind of a dick to her.
I met your girl the other day. She seems interesting, I said.
Bear smiled. She told me she was the one who pulled the trigger on... I couldn't bring myself to say his name.
That true?
Bear nodded.
Yeah, she saved my fucking life too. I'll tell you this, you don't know what love really is until you see your girl wipe your evil old man from the face of the fucking earth for you.
Fuck, I think I kinda love her too.
Bear was looking off into the distance like he was recalling a memory.
Think she'd be down for a pity fuck? I asked, holding up the box of condoms.
I'm going to pretend you didn't fucking say that,
Bear said. His nostrils flared. He knocked the box from my hands.
You're such a brute,
I said, placing the joint between my lips and held my hand out for Bear's lighter. Bear shook his head.
No fucking way, man. You're gonna have to go to the garage and hide in a fucking corner like the rest of us have to. Dead or not, Ray will toss you off the fucking balcony if you smoke weed by the house.
Since fucking when?
Since we got Sammy, Max, and Nicole running around here and are about to add to the litter with my kid. No smoking that shit until the kids are either asleep or at school, and even then it's still only in the fucking garage.
Sammy?
You don't know the kids' names?
I leaned over the railing, grateful that the sun was setting because it meant the pressure behind my eyes would ease up once it was tucked into the horizon for the night. I mean, Doe gave me the cliff notes about the kids and I've heard them yelling at them. I knew the girl was Max and the boy was Doe's. I mean, Ray's kid, but I'd never really thought about his name before.
Yeah. Turns out she named her kid Samuel years before she met you. How ironic is that? Now we got two of you running around. He's a good kid. Funny as shit, too. One week he's trying to copy me by wearing his own little cut and wanting to ride a bike, and the next week he's got belts around his arms because he wants to be like King. Get to know him, and the girls.
Bear turned sideways to face me, leaning his elbow against the rail. He pointed his smoke at me as he spoke.
Those kids are the best things that have happened to this place in a long fucking time.
I absent-mindedly went to light the joint again, and Bear raised his eyebrows. I pulled it from my lips.
I can't smoke a fucking joint in my own house. How do you people live like this?
I asked, appalled. It's not your house anymore. He slapped me on the back.
One fucking breath at a time, brother.
I don't think I was just gone for a while,
I said, tossing the joint back into the bag.
I think I fucking upset the space-time continuum.
You've got a girl, and I can't freely engage in my love of illegal narcotics.
What the fuck?
I realized I sounded like a whiny kid. Well, a whiny kid who wants to smoke a joint on his porch, but I was unable to stop the very real confusion that I was feeling. A part of me, a very selfish part of me, always hoped that while I was gone, the world was somehow on pause. But it wasn't. The world moved on. They all moved on.
This bullshit, Prep, is called being an adult,
Bear said, slapping me on the back.
Fucking sucks, don't it?
He laughed, but his expression told me he thought it anything but fucking sucked.
I can't believe you've got a girl, I said. If I had to bet between you settling down and the zombie apocalypse, my money would have been on the zombies.
So much has happened while I was gone. Bear flashed me a sad smile. The kind of smile everyone was giving me since I'd woken up. The kind of smile that was making me both furious and sick to my fucking stomach.
So does your girl know you're in love with me?
I asked, looking at his neck again before tucking the joint behind my ear.
Prep, Bear warned. Later.
Buzzkill, I muttered.
And yeah, I got a girl. Good one, too. Knocked her up and everything,
Bear said proudly. He lit his cigarette and tossed me his lighter.
Wow, you waited until I was gone to become the Grand Marshal of White Trash?
I tapped the bottom of the fresh pack against my hand a few times before pulling one out and lighting my own. The first inhale of smoke filling my lungs felt fucking glorious and gave me an instant high I hadn't had from a cigarette since I was a kid, token on my first smoke behind the portables at school.
Nah, 'cause I put a ring on her finger, too.
There goes the parade I was gonna throw you.
Prep, T and I have been staying in the garage apartment while the club is undergoing a bit of a makeover,
Bear said.
What kind of makeover?
Like a renovation?
It's a little more involved.
I shrugged and took another drag.
Well, that place was always a shithole. It could use some paint or getting rid of the swamp you guys call a pool in the middle of that damn thing. What did you start with?
Hazmat suits and blood removal.
Good call.
I thought so.
Bear leaned forward on the railing, looking out onto the ground below.
But since Grace...
Yeah, I interrupted, letting him know there was no need to finish his sentence in order to cite the grim obvious.
T and I are gonna move over to Grace's house real soon.
I'm thinking about eventually buying some property on the other side of the bay and building something over there.
Word is old man Jensen's looking to sell, but I figure for now we'll post up over at Grace's house so we'll have some room after the baby's born.
Grace's house? I asked.
You bought Grace's house?
Bear smirked.
Nope. Didn't buy it.
He glanced over at me.
They didn't tell you, did they?
I shook my head.
What, motherfucker? Tell me.
I demanded, stubbing out my cigarette on the bottom of my shoe. Bear's smile grew brighter. Shit, when did he get so many fucking teeth?
Prep, as it turns out, Grace was my grandma.
Holy fucking shit. The first thought that hit me was pure fucking joy.
Man, I'm jealous as fuck, but that just might be the greatest thing I've ever seen or heard, like, ever.
Yeah, just might be,
Bear agreed.
Well,
I pointed at his neck.
Maybe next to that fucking tattoo.
Chapter 9. Dre. I wish you weren't leaving tomorrow, I said to Brandon as we waited for the realtor to arrive. The house still needed some work. I hadn't yet started on either of the gutters or the painting, but Brandon suggested we talk to a professional to see what they thought about the listing price and sale time, especially since I hadn't gotten so much as a single call from my for sale by owner ads. I wish I could stay longer, too. But Ralph called this morning, and it seems that the entire world is going to crumble if I don't return by the weekend. At least, you know Ralph. That's how he makes it sound. It's only been a few weeks, but alas, I am missed. Just then, a newer model Honda pulled up, and a tall man in his early to mid-30s stepped out. He had a lean build and wore jeans with a white button-down and a blue blazer. His hair was slicked back, and he wore thick, black-framed glasses that reminded me of my own. His boots were bright red and pointed at the toe. "Hi, you must be... Andrea, is that it?" he asked with a big smile, shaking my hand. "I'm Easton Feather, but you can just call me East, because that's what all my friends call me, and I can tell you from the second that we spoke on the phone that we are going to be great friends." I smiled at his enthusiasm. "Yes, I'm Andrea, but you can just call me Dre. This is my friend Brandon," I said, and the two men shook hands. "Do I know you? You look familiar," he said to me, pulling his glasses down the bridge of his nose. "I don't think so, but I used to come here every summer, so you might have seen me around." East snapped his fingers. "That must be it. It's a small town and feels even smaller when you overhear how some of the women gossip around here." East fanned himself with his clipboard and looked up at the house over my shoulder. "So, Dre," East started. "As I told you on the phone that I recommend that we tour the property first so I can see what we're working with, and then I'll pull up some comparable homes that I have sold in the area recently so we can get you a better idea of price. Then I'll go over my listing plan with you and let you know what I'm going to be doing in terms of marketing, like hosting an open house, posting on the latest real estate apps, and so on." He looked up at the house and made a few scribbles on his clipboard. "Sound good? Shall we?" he asked, ascending the porch steps and letting himself in the front door, without waiting for an answer. "I guess we shall," Brandon said with a laugh as we followed East into the house. Over the next 2 hours, East did exactly what he'd promised, and made a full evaluation of the house, as well as a plan to sell, and market with a full list of comps. After taking pictures for the listing, he shook our hands and said goodbye, promising to email me the link to the listing in the morning before it went live. "He's an odd one," Brandon whispered without moving his lips as we waved back to East, who had just pulled out of the driveway and taken off down the road. "I like him," I said. "He's nice. And honestly, as long as he can do what he says he can with the house, he can be as different as he wants to be." "True story," Brandon said, holding open the front door for me while I passed through under his arm. "Want to help me pack?" "But you aren't leaving until tomorrow," I started to whine. But then I saw something in the corner of my eye, something in the backyard. When I went to the window and spied out the back, I could have sworn what I saw hopping over the fence was a little kid. He disappeared as quickly as he'd appeared.
"What?"
Brandon asked, standing beside me at the window.
"What did you see?"
"I think there was a kid in the backyard," I said, opening the back sliding door and shuffling over to the back gate with Brandon on my heels.
A kid? Like, small and scraggly looking?
Yeah, I thought you said you didn't see anything.
I didn't. Not right now, anyway. But the other day I was pulling out when I saw him standing behind me in the rearview mirror. By the time I turned around, he was running away. Must just be a kid from around here. Curious as to who his new neighbor lady is.
Yeah, must be, I said, walking back to the house with Brandon. My phone buzzed. Hello? So we're having a party tonight, Ray practically shouted in my ear. Come to the house around 9. One of the GGs is watching the kids at her house, so we're going to have a big bonfire. Lots of booze. Be here or I'm coming to get you myself. Ray didn't give me a chance to answer. The line went dead.
Party? Brandon questioned. I mean, I could go for a party.
He paused.
Or would it be too weird for you to be there?
The sound of a branch snapping caught my attention, and I turned back to the woods. There was a slight rustling of the brush. I waited and listened. Nothing.
Dre, did you hear me? Brandon asked. Would it be too strange for you to be there? You know, since he is going to be there?
Stranger things have happened, I said, still looking out into the woods.
Huh? No offense, but what the fuck are you talking about?
He asked.
I'm talking about a party and you're looking out into space like you just saw the ghost of Christmas future or some crap.
Party. Me, you, got ya. I'm in, I said, heading back into the house with an eerie sense of dread looming over me. I didn't know if it was because of the party and the thought of seeing him again, or because when all the hairs on my arms stood on end, I couldn't shake a certain feeling. A feeling like I was being watched.
Chapter 10. Preppy.
Hey! Get your ass up and come to the garage. We have something for you.
King boomed from the bottom of the porch. I sat on the front steps fucking around with my new laptop.
What the fuck are you doing?
Looking up nude pics of your mom.
Turn off the porn and come with me,
he demanded. I'm not even looking at porn, just checking to see what the fuck's been going on in the world since I dropped off the face of it, I admitted.
Anything interesting?
King asked, putting a cigarette between his lips but not lighting it. Well, it seems I missed the election, I said.
For what?
King asked. President.
Of what?
Of the United States.
Of what?
King asked again. I glanced up to see him smiling. He'd been fucking with me.
You're such a fucker. I was starting to think all that tattoo ink seeped into your brain, I said. I thought I was the one who was supposed to have all the jokes.
Bear appeared next to King.
We're just filling in for you until after the surgery, he said, firing a text on his phone and shoving it back into his pocket.
What surgery? What the fuck are you talking about? I asked, wondering if I'd missed something.
You know, the one to remove your head out of your ass,
Bear said with a booming laugh. I flicked him off.
I hope your kid doesn't inherit your dickheadedness. In fact, you better hope it doesn't get your looks either, because you got nothing to offer in that department.
I actually agree with you there. The more the kid gets from tea, the better, he said,
looking less like the grumpiest fuck bear I remembered and more like this weird happy guy who invaded his body. It was like watching one of those alien invasion shows, and Bear was the product of some happiest fuck alien who decided to take up residence in his shirtless as fuck body.
But right now, Bear continued, I need you to get your fucking ass up and come to the garage. We have something for you.
What? Why? I asked.
Why? Because I fucking said so. Get up, come on, don't be a bitch, King said.
I'll be there, give me one second. I pulled up the social networking site I'd been on when they'd interrupted me. I'd told the truth when I told King I wasn't looking at porn. My dick hadn't exactly gotten the memo that I was alive just yet, but I had hopes for the fucker. Or else it was just a huge, useless dead thing hanging between my legs about 60 years too fucking soon. Glaring back at me from the computer screen was shiny black hair and dark, almost black eyes.
In her profile picture, she was standing on dark sand behind grassy dunes. Nothing like the beaches in the Logan's Beach area. It was a candid shot. She wasn't looking at the camera. Instead, she was looking off in the distance. The shadow of whoever took the picture was overlapping part of her face, and immediately, I hated whoever that motherfucker was who took the picture. Guy or girl. Maybe because it was obstructing me of a full view of her face, or maybe it was because she looked so unguarded. And I hated anyone who wasn't me who'd gotten to see her that way. She didn't post that often. The sporadic pictures that were on her timeline were all dated several months apart. I clicked on the About Info section of her page.
Come the fuck on!
King yelled out, and thank God he was at the garage, or my head would be swimming with the sound of his deep, bellowing voice.
Jesus fucking Christ, you two!
I shouted back. Before I shut down the computer, I might have made Bear and King wait 40 seconds more so I could hack into Dre's Facebook account and updated her relationship status. To married. I wasn't sure why the fuck I did it, but I was happy as fuck that I did. And when I walked out the front door and headed toward the garage to meet Bear and King, it was with a big, genuine fucking smile plastered all over my fucking face.
Preppy.
God, I fucking missed you. You are so fucking beautiful.
I cooed, like I was talking to an infant. I lifted the triangle of broken mirror to eye level so I could get a more up-close and personal look at the perfect line of white powder separated in picturesque rows on top of the glass.
Fuck.
I think I'm tearing up. It's been too fucking long, but that's all right. We're gonna fix that right now. We're gonna fix it so fucking good, baby.
You gonna snort that shit or fuck it?
Bear asked, and both he and King laughed, reminding me that there were two others in King's studio besides me and the blow. Bear was sitting on the floor with one leg pulled up so he could rest his elbow across it, his back against a bank of drawers that opened to one of King's many toolboxes. King sat on a rolling stool with his elbow propped up against a built-in counter space set back in the wall, a beer to his lips. My blow and I were taking up space on the middle cushion of the black leather couch meant to be a waiting area for King's tattoo clients. The studio was all brand new. Something King had put in when he rebuilt the garage in the garage apartment. It was small, but it was clean, and all the equipment was state-of-the-art. A custom neon sign hung over the door on the inside. It was a skull wearing a crown and a bow tie. King's tattoo that blinked from green to blue to red. With all the lights off inside, the wall color changed, reflecting a slightly different hue with every switch of the sign. King had never needed to keep up the tattoo business. The money he made permanently marking the skin of bikers and spring breakers was only a fraction of what we made with the granny grow houses plus the other shit we always had our hands in. But as I looked around the framed pictures of the work that King had recently done, I knew that he kept it up because it was a part of him, the same way I was gonna fuck up some blow. Because it was a part of me. Or at least, it was gonna be.
Come to Daddy, I said. I held the rolled up bill to my nose and closed one nostril. Leaning over, I snorted up every last bit of the cocaine goodness. I sat back up, sniffling to make sure every last bit of white powdered goodness was as far up in my fucking brain as possible. I wiped my nose and it hit me harder than I ever remember it hitting. The high was fucking incredible. I felt invincible as Bear took the bill from my hand and snorted his own line. He passed it to King, who shook his head and held up the joint he was smoking.
Don't tell me you don't party anymore, I said. You that pussy-whipped where you can't do a little fucking blow with your long-lost dead fucking friend? I mean, we're following all the rules, right? It's after dark, the kids aren't home, and we're in your shop in the garage. Article 15, line 27 of all your new fucking rules clearly states that this is an acceptable time to get seriously fucked up.
Nope. These days I just prefer to slow the fuck down instead of speed the fuck up. It's called relaxing in case you never heard of it.
Sounds fucking awful, I said, dumping more powder from the baggie onto the mirror.
Although whatever you've been doing is really up to your tat game. I pointed to the collection of pictures on the wall.
Some of that shit is downright amazing, man.
I tipped my chin to one on the bottom, a sleeve on a woman's arm with light gray colors mixed with pinks and blues.
I mean, that one's girly, but still really fucking badass.
King laughed.
Ray did that one.
I knew she was assisting King and that she tattooed the bird on his hand, but I didn't know she was on that level.
She's getting pretty fucking good,
King said, beaming with pride.
So I figure I can borrow your truck for now if that's all right with you, boss man.
I started, taking the joint he passed me, the blow putting into overdrive my lazy brain and for a few moments made me feel almost fucking normal. Almost.
I think I've got some cash buried somewhere, just gotta remember where first. Then I'll go into Dunn's over in Coral Pines and get my own ride, seeing as how my last one exploded and all.
Why? King asked, like it was a far-fetched idea.
See, cars take you from point A to motherfucking point B, I pointed out.
Wait, you're the one who has a degree and Bear's the high school dropout, right? That's not something that's twisted up in my memory?
Bear laughed and King rolled over and kicked his foot.
How the fuck else am I gonna get to the GGs to inspect and collect?
They paused their little tickle slap and I didn't miss the concerned look that passed between them.
Preppy, you don't have to go back to work. We only have 3 or 4 left of the GG houses anyway. I got Billy working them for now, plus Ray helps out. There's no rush.
Billy, like Chef Billy?
That's the one. His place got flooded a few months back, and until the insurance kicks in, he's been helping out here and there,
King explained. Bear scratched his neck.
Yeah, man, so you can relax for a hot second. Heal. Take some fucking time for yourself.
I shook my head. I've spent too much time alone thinking. I don't need to do it anymore. I'm fucking ready. I stared them both down and wiped at my nose.
Are you gonna tell me that I'm not?
Preppy,
King said, leaning forward and taking a slow drag on his joint.
Ray needs the truck for the kids and I've got my bike. But Bear and I already talked about it and he's got a few rides around the club laying around we can get fixed up for you.
All right then, I said, snorting 2 more lines and lighting my own cigarette. I missed drugs, I lamented. Cocaine may not be comforting to some people, but to me it was like meatloaf and apple pie. It was home. I looked up to the ceiling and then through the window of the backyard.
How the fuck did you afford this garage? The house being fixed up? Last I checked, your finances solely revolved around getting Max back, and that was more than any of us had combined.
King filled me in on the story. Although I felt like it was more of the same deja vu I felt with Thea when he was telling me about Ray's ex-husband and Max and going to rescue her from the psycho.
That didn't answer my question. How can you afford all this?
Bear chimed in.
Because, as it turns out, King didn't need the money for Max. Senator Man brought her back on his own accord. Then it seems that Ray came into some money. Like a lot of fucking money.
Bear smiled.
So, boss man,
I said, turning my attentions to him. He was already rolling his eyes.
You've got a sugar mama?
Go fuck yourself, Prep,
King said, although he was laughing when he said it.
He took the bottle of whiskey from Bear and poured a long stream down his throat before passing it to me. I was still swallowing when Bear sat up from the toolbox. He looked at me with a serious look on his face, a look I wanted to avoid, because serious looks came with serious questions, and I wanted nothing to do with those.
Prep, I gotta ask you. The girl, the one who came to see you, I remembered her from back in the day. I thought she was a BBB or something, but that doesn't seem right either.
Or something, I shrugged, taking another shot from the bottle. I passed it back to Bear.
Prep, I've known you since we were stupid and young. Now that I'm older and a little less stupid, I know there's more to this story than you're telling me, because there ain't no fucking way a BBB would be coming round here unless it was to knife you in your sleep.
I'd like to hear this too,
King said, leaning forward onto his knees.
Ain't much to say, I lied.
You might know her a lot better than you think you do,
I said to Bear.
Like, back door better.
Well, if she was a club girl, then yeah, of course I know her. And I recognized her right away when she came over to the house. I just can't remember her around the club or being at the parties with the other BBBs.
She wasn't a BBB. She was a girl who hung around. I tried to explain without going into too much detail, growing more and more frustrated with the fucking inquisition.
A friend? Who you were fucking?
King asked. I sighed and leaned my elbows on my knees.
You just got sent away, I said to King. And Bear was out on that long-ass ride to wherever. Grace was in the treatment center,
Dre came around strung out on H. I smiled at the memory. She tried to rob one of my GGs. Turned out to be her grandmother's house, Myrna. She stuck around, helped me with some shit I needed help with, then she left. That was all there was to it. I shrugged and passed the bill to Bear, who snorted two lines off the table. His dark blue eyes were open wide, bright, and clear as fuck. Not a fucking big deal, I added.
Prep. This girl came back after years out of nowhere, and then the wife thing, Bear said like he was trying to prove a point. We don't know this chick. She could be involved in all this somehow, part of the master plan that kept you locked up for CHOP. Maybe if you tell us more, tell us exactly what happened down there.
He pushed. No fucking way, I said.
Preppy, if you tell us, then...
King started. Listen, I cut him off. I pointed between the two of them. I know you two are looking to find out what happened to me, to see who else was in on it or who helped CHOP cover up the fact that I was still alive. I get that we need to figure out who else might have had their hands in this so we can wipe them from the face of the fucking planet. But put your fucking detective hats away for 1 second here. The girl, Dre, she isn't trying to scam you or kill me or anything like that. She didn't have a part in any of CHOP's crazy shit. I called her my wife when I was coming to because I was coming out of a motherfucking coma. I mean, I saw this video once on MeTube where the guy was waking up from dental surgery and thought his wife was Mother Teresa. Started praying to her and everything. King leaned forward against his hands on the back of the sofa across from me. Tell me something. This new look of yours got anything to do with this chick coming back around? How the fuck do you know she was back around?
King raised his eyebrows as if I should already know. I did. Ray, I muttered. King nodded. Not being able to sit in one spot any longer, I stood up and paced in front of the couch.
No, this ain't got shit to do with her, I answered. And it was the truth. How would I even go about telling my friends that I shaved my head and face bald because I hated looking at myself, only to find that I hated the shaved version of me even more? They'd been through so much thinking I was dead. The last thing they needed was to bear my fucking burdens as well. That's why I was never going to tell them everything that happened with CHOP. Never. They both eyed me skeptically. I was about to explain further that they didn't need to worry about Dre when Bear's eyes lit up.
Fuck, I remember her now. I remember talking to you about her. Her dad was looking for her or something like that.
His face lit up in a huge smile, and I wanted to both smile back and punch him in the goddamn face when I realized what memory he was recalling.
How the fuck did I almost forget that?
Forget what?
King asked. Bear scrunched up his forehead and he tried to recall the memory.
I can't remember all the details, but it was here. A party, I think.
Yeah, sounds about right, I said.
You had her here?
King asked.
Why is that so strange? We had all sorts of bitches at our parties.
Bear's smile grew even brighter and I froze, knowing exactly what he was about to say because I saw the memories taking hold in that brain of his.
'Cause this is the only bitch we both had our dicks in at the same time.
I could have said a million things, but instead I chose to change the subject. So when are we having our homecoming party? I asked.
You ready for that?
I'm ready for anything, I said, snorting another line and hoping the blow would help me believe my own lie.
Chapter 11. Dre. The house itself felt the same, but looked a little different. The garage had either been remodeled or replaced because even in the dark it looked brand new. The main house had a new coat of paint for sure. The numerous windows are clean and appear to have new white window frames. The soffit that had been rusting and falling down were all new as well. The space under the house that used to be cluttered with random broken parts was completely clear of junk and was now being used as parking. The truck that Ray had driven when she came to see me at Myrna's took up the space on the far wall. Several motorcycles took up the rest. Torches with bright flames burned along the front walkway. All the lights were glowing from the bottom story, but only a single light was on upstairs, the window glowing yellow before whoever was in the room, that very familiar room, abruptly shut the blinds.
This was a really bad idea, I whispered to Brandon, who wrapped his arm around my shoulder.
I shouldn't have come. I turned back around, but Brandon grabbed me by the wrist.
You're here now, Dre. You came to sell the house and get closure, right? Well?
He said, gesturing to the house. Laughter, along with the light thump from the beat of the music playing, echoed from the backyard. I knew what Brandon was about to say, and he must have saw that I knew because he never finished his sentence. Instead, he took my hand and pulled me toward the house. I could have argued, but there was no point. I hated it when he was right, which was often. I had tried to relax my stiff shoulders by taking a deep, calming breath and exhaling slowly. Nope, didn't work. Hey, over here, Ray shouted, spotting us from the porch, waving her arms around in the air. I'm so glad you made it, she said, approaching us. With Ray was the same beautiful girl with strawberry blonde hair who was there the day I discovered that Preppy was alive. This is Thea, Ray introduced. You can call me T, she offered with a sweet smile. My eyes dropped to the humongous baby belly between us. Yeah, I know I'm huge, T said when she saw where I was looking. She patted her belly. Any day now, though, and this little munchkin will finally stop stomping on my bladder. I swear to Christ, I feel like the baby's using my pelvis as a trampoline. Up and down and up and down. I'm in shock I haven't split in two yet. I could feel how uncomfortable she was. Beads of sweat appeared on her pale skin, spotting over the bridge of her nose and cheeks. She fanned herself with her hand. Is it hot out here? I feel like it's really hot. It was the coolest night since I'd arrived in Logan's Beach, although that meant it was in the 70s. So to a pregnant woman, that had to still be borderline surface of the sun temperature. I'm Brandon, Brandon offered, shaking T's hand. Shit, I'm sorry, I forgot to introduce you again, I apologized. No worries, I know you've got a lot on your mind. Brandon gave my shoulder a squeeze and didn't let go. He turned toward Ray and Thea.
Ladies, I think this one here could use a drink.
Yes, Ray said, holding up her own beer dripping with condensation. Thea looked at it lovingly, like it was an old friend she missed dearly. I tried not to laugh, hiding my smile behind my hand. I'll show you where the coolers are, Ray said, hooking her arm with mine. She led me away from Brandon, who offered to help Thea back up the steps into the house to find Bear. Ray showed me where the coolers were against her house in the back. There was a crowd of people in all forms of sitting, standing, and leaning around the bonfire in the backyard. The smell of cigarette smoke and weed hovered in the still night air. Ray reached into one of the coolers and twisted off the top of a beer. She handed it to me. I took a sip of the bubbly liquid, scanning the crowd before me. I told myself I wasn't looking for him, but I knew it was a lie. I would also have been lying to myself if I said that the tight, high-waisted black pencil skirt I was wearing that hugs my hips and ass wasn't for him. Neither was the fitted blue polka-dotted tank top with the heart-shaped bra cups that pushed my cleavage up to unbelievable limits. Neither was the hour I spent curling my hair into perfect barrel curls and trimming my bangs to fall just right off to the side. Or the bright red on my lips or the dab of perfume behind my ears. So even if it was for him, it was for me too. It had been a long time since I dressed up in the pin-up style that I loved so much. But the second my foot hit the ground on Logan's Beach soil, I felt a need to wear the clothes I loved, to feel more connected to the place I loved. I rarely wore jewelry, but I'd slipped on my grandmother's tiny diamond engagement ring that my grandpa had given to her when he proposed, and she'd given to me when I was still just a kid and couldn't appreciate it like I did now. I'm glad my dad had it tucked away in a safety deposit box and given it to me as a gift after I completed rehab, because there was no doubt if I'd had it earlier that I would have pawned it at some point during what I started to refer to in my head as the dark years. I didn't spot Preppy, but I instantly recognized Billy, the chef who cooked us the crab Preppy and I had caught. It wasn't hard to spot him, it's not like I could miss him. He was almost 7 feet tall, standing at least a head taller than most of the crowd, and the bulk of his body was massive. The jean overalls he wore without a shirt underneath wasn't exactly an outfit that blended in either. He stood at the very back of the crowd, a mason jar to his lips. I tapped my foot to the Kane Brown song, playing over the speaker perched on the bottom step of the back porch, and pretended like I was relaxing, when in reality I felt like my airway was tightening, cutting off my ability to breathe with each passing second. King came over to us, tipped his head to acknowledge me, and grabbed her by her hand, dragging her off without saying a word. Very caveman, I thought. Very fucking hot. Thea found Bear because I spotted them standing by the bonfire, where King had pushed his way to the front, pulling Ray behind him, but I didn't see Brandon anywhere. Suddenly, I felt an awareness course through my body. It hit me so hard my nipples tightened under my shirt. I knew exactly who I was going to see when I turned around, toward where I felt the pull rippling through the air. I held my breath. I knew he'd be there. But I wasn't prepared for how I felt when I saw him. Sweaty palms, rapidly beating heart, a feeling of excitement and panic all at the same time. It was just like when I started using heroin. Right before I plunged the needle into my arm, there was a feeling almost as good as the high itself. The anticipation. The fear. I knew deep inside that it didn't matter how prepared I was to see him, because I'd never be prepared for the way Preppy made me feel. The second I spotted him in the crowd, I knew that this wasn't going to be some sort of warm and fuzzy reunion. No, it was a fucking relapse.
Chapter 12. Preppy.
Not this fucking guy again.
A high-pitched feminine voice behind me shouted. A girl of blonde hair flashed in front of my eyes, but I didn't need to see her face to know who the source of that annoying voice was. I turn around, and I am face to face with rage. Literally the only person on the planet who knows how to push every button I have just by existing. Also, she was the only hot chick on the planet who might as well not have a vagina, because there was nothing about her that myself or little Preppy liked. Nothing. Oh my shit. Who invited Susie Homekiller to the party? I asked outlaid. Don't you have puppies to offer something, Rage? Should I hide the coyote so you don't stake it in the heart for shits and giggles? She pointed at me with her beer bottle.
For your information, that fucking coyote loves me and so does Thea, so behave yourself if you know how to. Oh, and I'm glad to see that you ditched the ugly bow tie,
she said, pointing to the collar of my t-shirt.
It was a dead trend.
I pursed my lips. That's funny. Especially when I'm pretty sure everyone you've ever met becomes a dead trend at some point. She cocked her head to the side.
Well, then I wouldn't stand too close if I were you, she said, taking a step forward.
I took a step toward her in challenge. Doesn't bother me. Haven't you heard? I've already been dead. Laughed. And if you didn't know she was Satan, anyone else would take it as a genuine laugh, like I'd just told a funny joke.
That's right, I forgot to ask you.
She made a show of clearing her throat.
Hey, loser, do anything fucking stupid lately? You know, like getting captured and tortured? I mean, for the record, I'm glad you're back from the dead, by the way, if anything, just so I can make fun of you for being stupid enough to get killed in the first place.
I scoffed. Oh, yeah? You think getting killed is stupid? I'm not the one who throws a fucking temper tantrum and all of a sudden a city block falls to the streets. Rage rolled her eyes.
OMG, it was like two buildings at the most. She paused. That time.
She smiles in a sly way that tells me she's still proud of the work she's done. As pleasant as ever, Rage, I said, stepping back and taking a swig of my beer, searching the suddenly empty lawn for anyone to talk to other than Genghis Rage.
Well, I can't say I'm not disappointed to see you amongst the living again, she said,
buffing her French manicured nails on her hot pink t-shirt that read, No Fucks Given. I looked at her right in her cold, dead blue eyes. Funny, I'm deliriously happy I'm alive, but standing here right now, looking at you,
It's the first time I'm kind of fucking wishing I was still dead, too. You know, but not as dead as your soul. She smiled wickedly.
I've always loved your compliments, Samuel.
She sang whimsically, batting her lashes for a beat before returning the disapproving frown to her face. Almost as much as I love thinking about how they're going to cast your episode of Making of a Serial Killer.
If you want to be dead again, just say the fucking word and it can be arranged.
She spat, squaring her feet. You want to go, bitch? I said, jumping back on my heels and raising my fists like a boxer. 'Cause we can go right now.
With pleasure,
Rage said. She was about to set her beer down in the grass when a voice interrupted us. That's enough, kids, said a tall biker who put his arm around Rage. I waited for her to push him off and jump back into wanting to fight me mode. But her entire demeanor softened at his touch, and surprisingly, she didn't even flinch. Ooh, I see that Bomber Barbie has found herself a Ken, I asked, looking from Rage to the biker. Watch it, the guy warned, protectively standing in front of Rage, who stood on her tiptoes and scowled over his shoulder before stepping out in front of him. It's good to see that Rage isn't dead inside like we thought for so long. Hi, I'm Preppy, I said, extending my hand. Nolan, the man offered with a shake and a small smile that told me he was trying his hardest not to laugh. Another biker in a matching cut walks up and hands Nolan a beer. He puts his arms over his shoulder as they huddle together, whispering what my guess would be about stupid biker bitch shit. Speaking of people whose souls you murder, where's Smoke? I asked. Smoke was her mentor and a fuck of a tracker. I was only asking because I'd already heard that he'd left town for good, and it was in some way her fault, although I didn't know all the details. She shrugged, and the angry V-lines in her forehead straightened out.
Got no clue these days, she said, putting her hands in her back pockets and rocking back on her heels.
Hopefully far a fucking way, Nolan said through his gnashed teeth, chiming in over his shoulder.
Nolan,
she warned, taking a much softer tone I'd ever heard her use before, but Nolan was already back to his conversation with the other biker. OMG, you're dick-whipped, I whispered, pointing to Nolan. Aren't you? Wow, this is fucking amazing. Tell me, was it his cock or the fact that he doesn't murder babies in their sleep that made you go from Ted Bundy to teddy bear? Tell me, are you planning on doing that whole Black Widow thing where you get close to them before slitting their throats in their sleep one by one? 'Cause I'm not gonna lie, that's a pretty cool fucking plan.
I'm not a character in a comic book, asshole, and I don't kill babies, she snarled. And I don't kill anyone in their sleep, that's just rude.
I shrugged and took another sip of my beer. Whatever you tell yourself so you can sleep at night. Or wait, do you sleep now, or are you still hanging from the ceiling like a fucking bat? Rage glared at me without answering, but the glare said it all. If looks could kill, well, they didn't need to because she could kill. I reached in my pocket for my smokes and lit one. Rage made a show of waving the smoke out of her face, although it was nowhere near her. You do sleep? Wow, it's like I don't even know you anymore. Tell me, what are the other main differences between the raging bitch you were and the raging bitch you've become? I crossed my arms over my chest and leaned in like I couldn't wait to hear her answer.
Fuck off, Preppy.
Oh, come on, Rage. You could do better than that. I mean, it's just so nice to see that you've settled down, and with a biker, no less. I really had no idea that you were home knitting scarves and planning babies. I apologize for everything I've said, Rage, I offered, raising my hands in mock surrender. She flipped me off. It's totally cool that you're barefoot in the kitchen. Feminism is for the birds and all that. Oh, shit, does this mean you're going to be the soccer mom?
What about you?
She asked, pointing to the kids running around in the yard.
Doesn't exactly look like you're all alone here.
Yeah, well, still feels like I am, I muttered, offering that bit of truth since we were all being honest with our hatred and all.
I know all too well what you mean,
she said, looking up to Nolan, who was still deep in conversation. Did we just agree on something? I asked, with a shake of my head and a tinge of disgust in my voice. Listen, the universe is already fucked up. We don't need this kind of karma in our lives.
No, we did not agree on anything, she argued. I was just saying how fucking boring your life is, and then I wanted to add how shitty you look after a few months of mild torture.
She leaned in and whispered,
I bet you screamed like a bitch.
She pulled back and took a sip of her beer. A part of me, a part deep, deep down part of me liked that rage had no filter and said whatever was on her mind.